Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The poet Carl Sandburg once described poetry as the opening and the closing of a door. For a moment, you're given a glimpse, of something, fog, a city, and by that glimpse, you are invited into something more. You see, poets, they capture and they condense in order to create. They give you one small moment, trusting that that moment will lead to something more. Today is a day of homiletical reflection. After chapel, we will have the Wenschel Lecture on homiletics. And we welcome among us Dr. John Nunes from Valparaiso University and his lovely wife, Monique, who has graced us with her song. John's lecture is titled Preaching the Poet of Heaven and Earth. That is a beautiful title. And I thought that maybe one way to prepare us for hearing about the poet was to consider one of his poems. It's a small work, really, a little wonder in the making, buried there in the pages of the Gospel of John, the story of a man born blind. And I would like to meditate on that one moment, trusting that it will lead us to something more. So the story begins very simply. John writes, as he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. Jesus saw a man. It's simple, but it is oh so profound. Think about how hard it is to see a person, right? I mean, we see the car, we see the home, we see the Rolex watch, and somehow we overlook the failing marriage, right? We see that nose ring so clearly that we fail to see an abusive childhood. It is hard for us to see people. Think about the disciples. They're walking along, they see this man, and what do they say? They say to Jesus, Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents, that he is born blind. They don't see a person. They see a problem. They stand there and they talk their theology, and yet their theology takes them out of the world, reduces a human being to a theological problem. Who sinned? Who sinned that he was born blind? They observe the man, right? But they don't see him. They talk about him, but they don't talk with him. They don't see him. They don't talk with him. They don't touch him. They don't put sandals on his feet. They don't put a piece of bread in his lap. They don't take him by the hand and lead him to Jesus. They just talk theology and stand apart from a man. But not Jesus. Because Jesus sees a man. And Jesus sees that that man is part of God's greater story. You see, the disciples had written a story that was way too small. They were bad poets. They had shut the door. They weren't even letting you look through the keyhole. They had written a story that was so small, it was a story that began in sin and ended in punishment. Who sinned, this man or his parents, that God would punish him with blindness? That was their story. Have you ever experienced how the church can sometimes make that the story of God, that all we talk about is sin and punishment? Right? I mean, we somehow become the morality police for the world, going out there telling everybody about their sin and everybody about God's punishment, and that's our story. But it's too small. We spend all our time disciplining people and we never take their hands to disciple them. Right? We spend all our time policing the world to the point where we never participate in it, in the goodness of God's creation. But Jesus sees that the story is greater than that. You see, the story didn't begin with sin. No, it began with creation. And the story, it doesn't end with punishment. No, no, in Him, the story ends in restoration. And when your story begins in creation and it ends in restoration, everything that happens in between is part of that wonderful working of God, entering into a broken creation and bringing it to life once again. And so Jesus says to the disciples, neither this man sinned, nor his parents. This happened that the works of God might be displayed in his life. And then Jesus, he stops talking theology. And he starts living it. He gets down on his knees next to this man, spits in the dust. He takes it, he fashions it, he forms it, he makes a paste, he puts it on the man's eyes and then sends him away to wash in the pool. This one who had told us that before Abraham was, I am, this one shows us just how far back he goes. He was there. He was there at the original creation, and he will be there at the final new creation and restoration. This one who fashioned a world of beautiful creatures and fashioned beautiful creatures to live in that world has now entered into creation and is creating once again, making this blind man see. He came. To do work like that. And it is for work like that that he is willing to die. In fact, by dying, he will do greater works than these. You see, Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. No, he came that the world might be saved through him. He is the poet of heaven and earth. He has captured all sin, condensed it into his death, that he might rise and create life anew. Life for this man and life for you. What a blessing it is to have this one small moment this morning, because it teaches us to see that Jesus has brought us in to God's greater story. Baptized into the death and resurrection of Jesus, you are children of God. You have died to sin and you are alive to righteousness in Him. You are no longer slaves of sin, you are servants of righteousness, living in God's kingdom and living not by the littleness of your minds talking about people, living by the greatness of His love, working with people that the works of God may be displayed in their life. So the first thing we discover in this story is that Jesus brings us in to God's greater story. The second thing is something like that. It's that Jesus gives us a story to tell. Jesus gives us a story to tell. I love the simplicity of this story. The narrative arc, it begins with Jesus seeing a man, and it ends with a man seeing Jesus. And that man sees Jesus in the story he tells. Jesus sends him away, but after he sends him away, Jesus disappears into the crowd, and the man comes back. He comes back seeing, but what does he see? He sees that his life is a mess. Right, the people who are passing by him, the onlookers, they don't even know if this is him anymore. They look at him, they say, well, is this the guy that used to beg there? Well, I'm not sure, it kind of looks like him. And he's saying, it's me, right? The man called Jesus put mud on my eyes. I was blind, but now I see. The onlookers, the passersby, they don't recognize him. His parents disown him, right? He's dragged into the synagogue to talk about who it is that healed on the Sabbath, and his parents says, he's of age, let him talk for himself. His life is a mess. The people don't know him. His parents disown him, and his spiritual life is a test as the Pharisees are examining him again and again about what he says about this Jesus, so much so to the point where they kick him out. They kick him out of their group. They kick him out of the synagogue. They say to him, you were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? But he wasn't lecturing. He was simply telling his story. All I know is I was blind. But now I see. And the beautiful thing is, the more he tells that story, the more clearly and clearly he sees Jesus. James writes, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. This man, by telling his stories, draws near to God, and Jesus draws near to him. The first time he tells the story to the onlookers, he describes Jesus as the man called Jesus. The second time, he's before the Pharisees, and he describes Jesus not as the man called Jesus, he calls him a prophet. The third time he's brought before those people, this time he doesn't call Jesus the man called Jesus. He doesn't call him the prophet. He calls him one who came from God. And then the last time, when Jesus has found him and he's standing there and he's seeing Jesus face to face, now he says, Lord, I believe. Jesus has taken, as some writers say, Jesus has taken this man's mess and turned it into a message, right? He has taken this man's test and he's turned it into a testimony. He has taken this weakness and he's made it into a witness. He brings us into God's kingdom and he gives us a story to tell. I've got a story like that I share. It happens every year around Call Day. Those of you who have been around here for years and who have known me, you've heard the story before, but you know, I was blind and now I see. It's the story I tell. It draws me closer to Jesus and Jesus comes closer to me. I don't know if many of you can identify with the nervousness you had before call day. You remember that? I remember how nervous I was. And the way I handled it was I actually told the placement director exactly where to send me. I wanted to be an assistant pastor. I didn't want to be on my own. I wanted to be an assistant pastor. I wanted to be in the suburbs of a large city. That's where I grew up. I was kind of comfortable there. And I wanted to be a youth pastor, right, working with the youth. So I'm going to be an assistant pastor in the suburbs of a large city working with the youth. It really didn't seem that difficult to put me there, right? Until call day, right? And I remember standing outside on the steps of Winneken with that poor lighting, pulling out of that envelope, that sheet, my hands were shaking. Because I was not an assistant pastor, I was the sole pastor. And I was not in the suburb of a large city. I was in a large city, Chicago. I was on the south side of Chicago. And in the packet, it said that the average age of the congregation was 76. I don't think I was going to be working with youth, right? I kind of thought to myself, I wonder maybe if the secretary was dyslexic and it really was 67, which isn't so bad. I remember talking to the secretary before the ordination, we were setting things up, and I just had to get this age thing out on the table, and I didn't want to sound like it mattered to me. So I said to her, I saw in the packet, they saw that the average age is 76, 76, is that right? And she's like, oh, no, Pastor. She says, oh, I'm so sorry, Pastor. No, we did that survey about 5 years ago. I'm sure it's higher. Oh, I felt that it was a mess, and I was alone, and I felt betrayed. And I got there, and for that first year and a half, 2 years, what I did was I visited every one of the members, right? Every one of the members I visited. It wasn't hard. They're all retired, right? So I'm just going to buy and see them all. Visit every member. If you were on the rolls, I visited you. I didn't want to know anything. I didn't want to know if you came to church, didn't come to church. I don't care. I don't want to know somebody just wrote your name down. I'm going to come visit you. And I sat and I met with people on their porch, front porch, back porch, at these diners in their homes, and I talked to them. And everyone I asked the same question, different words, the same question. That is, how has God brought you here? What has God been doing that you're here now? And they started to tell me stories of God's work in their life. And I began to see what God was doing. You know, I'm in my 20s, right? I don't have much life to look over. These people, 50, 60, 70, 80, Ida Wolf, 98 years that she can look over and talk about God's work in her life. And they started to tell me stories of the working that God had done. And it wasn't this prosperity gospel stuff. No, they would talk about suffering. They would talk about a child born with mental disabilities, a miscarriage, a suicide of a friend, a divorce. They would set these things out, but then they would say, in so many words, they would say, this happened, that the work of God might be revealed. For this Jesus, he takes a mess and he makes it a message. He takes that test and he'll turn it into a testimony. He takes your weakness and he makes it into a witness, for he is Lord of all. He has captured all sin, condensed it into his death, and he rises now to create new life in you. And so there I was, surrounded not just by theological teachings to talk about. I was surrounded by people, living witnesses of God's work in the world, people to talk with, people to walk with in my discipleship with Jesus. And Jesus had just opened the door and given me just a glimpse of his kingdom on the south side of Chicago, and was saying to me, welcome home. Jesus brings you home by making you part of God's greater story. And this Jesus, he gives you a story to tell. Amen.